Well, good evening.
Good evening.
Great to see all of you here tonight. We're praying that God would do a work, a special work in our hearts. We need God to do that. No man, no material, no words on a page, no special programs can do what only God can do. And so as we bow our heads and hearts, let's ask for His blessing and His leadership, His divine intervention in these moments. Precious Father, we're so grateful that You are here. Lord, whether or not we feel it or understand it or know it or even embrace it, Father, You are here. And Father, we gladly want to welcome You into the living room of our mind and our heart. And we want You, Father, to come in and take possession of every room, every closet, and every little cubbyhole. And we pray, Father, tonight that You would just sweep all the dust of the world off our feet. We know, Lord, that we come from many different backgrounds and problems and difficulties of the day and the onslaught of the world and the flesh and the devil. But, Father, we stand in the name of Christ to just resist that and to put that off. And we want to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, His beauty, His understanding, His teachableness tonight. And we need Your wisdom and Your knowledge and Your direction. And I ask You, Father, for Your anointing, for the simplicity and clarity of truth tonight as we speak and as we hear from You. Teach us, Father, how to be great men, holy men of God. And that's the deep desire of our heart. And so show us, Father, in ever-increasing ways how to do that. Even make old truth that we already know in our heads move down to our hearts and out through our lives. We pray that in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Well, take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5 and this tremendous passage that I know that you're familiar with. Last night we talked with the wives about how to be a holy wife and a holy mother. And tonight we're going to look at the flip side of that, and that is how to be a holy husband and a holy Father. You remember that the word holy is a word that means to be set apart, means to sanctify or to set apart. It means that we're different. As we describe the holiness of God, we're just describing the fact that God is different. He is so different. He is so beyond us. And God has, by His grace and His incredible intervention in your lives, men, He has reached down, wooed you to Himself. He initiated your salvation, called you unto Himself, and then gave you grace to respond and say yes. And then He saved you totally by His grace. And now as one of His children and one of His men in this world, He wants you to be a holy man. He wants you to be set apart. He wants your life to be different than every other man in the face of this earth, and particularly different than the men who don't know Him as Savior and Lord. So that as you name the name of Christ, people will look at you and see the distinctive difference what Christ really does in a human heart and in a human home. So what does it take to be a holy father and a holy husband? Well, one of the great passages about that is here in Ephesians chapter 5. And listen to what it says, and we'll begin with verse 22, where it says, "Wives, be subject to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, He Himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything." And then He speaks to the husbands. "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for her." Why? "That He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the Word, that He might present to Himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. And he who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but he nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. And for this cause A man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And this mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each individual among you also love his own wife, even as himself, and let the wife see to it that she respect and fear her husband. Now, if we could sum up really what the husband's position in the home is, very clearly, Christ states that here through the Apostle Paul to us. God states that, and in many other passages, and he says that the husband is the head of the wife, is the head of the wife. Now, you may, wives, you may buck against that, or you may say, well, my husband's not the head of me, but this is what Christ says is to be true of your home and is true of the home. He says this here in Ephesians chapter 5. He says it also in 1 Corinthians 11, chapter 3. And over, it gives us picture that the husband is to be the head. And as the head, it gives the picture, the idea of leadership, the idea of oversight. The different members of my body look to the head for decision-making and direction in life. My hand has no ability on its own to make decisions. But when it reaches out to touch a hot stove, it sends a message. The nerves go back to the brain and says, what should I do? And the brain helps to lead and to guide and to direct that hand. And really that head is directing every member of the body, so it all moves in harmony, and there's one head. So it has the picture, it's the picture, men, of headship, the picture of leadership, the picture of oversight and direction to be given to my family. Now, before you puff up your chest and say to your wife, now, did you hear what that preacher said? I'm the head of this home. Let me just remind you that with greater position comes far greater responsibility before God. And that you have a, to whom much is given, much is required of a man. And I want to tell you something, men. We're going to stand before the Lord God, the Holy God, the Creator of heaven and earth one day, and you and I individually are going to give an account not only how we walked as men and how we walked as Christians, but how we walked as leaders and giving oversight and direction to our home. Now, headship and leadership in the home means some things, and it doesn't mean other things. Let me give you some of the deceptions regarding leadership, some of the things it does not mean. First of all, it does not mean that I'm a dictator, that I just stand with my foot on my neck of my wife and say, now, you just do, you heard that preacher the other night, I'm to lead in this home, and you do everything that I say. It doesn't mean, obviously, that I'm a dictator. Secondly, it doesn't mean at all that I'm superior. In fact, if we had the time tonight, could look at many passages where the Bible says, listen, we're all equal at the foot of the cross. There's neither male nor female, Jew nor Gentile. We're all the same before the Lord. No one is superior. It's just recognizing that there is a God-designed order and structure to the home, just like there is to every element of society. There's structure in the church, men, there's structure in your business, there's structure in the military, there's structure in government. It is God's design who does everything decently in order to place structure in the home. And so he's placed this here, and it doesn't mean that I'm superior to my wife. It doesn't mean that I have greater abilities or greater responsibilities. It means that I have different responsibilities, and they are weighty responsibilities indeed. It also doesn't mean that I'm the exclusive decision maker. Some men take this and they say, well, I'm the head, I'm the leader, so I make the decisions here, and wife, you just shut up and you just do what I tell you to do. I want to tell you, foolish is the man who lives that way. Do you know that God has given your wife an incredible intuitive sense about things? And I tell you what, it is the rule of our household. I would never, ever think of making any major decision in our home without the agreement and the counsel and the help and that intuitive element given to me by my wife. We are one, and she has an ability to see things that I cannot see and would never see apart from her. So it does not mean that I'm the exclusive decision maker, nor that I'm a dictator, nor that I'm superior, or nor that I am infallible. And I don't need to dwell very long right there, because if you think you're infallible, your kids we'll change your opinion about that real quick. What does it mean, and how are we to lead? What is the key to leading for a man who really wants to fulfill his role as a husband? Well, really, there is one primary instruction. It's interesting. God could have given 1,000 instructions, and He does tell us a lot of different things. But when He comes to this matter of the father and the husband in the home, really, there's just one primary instruction. Do you know what it is, men? What is it? In one simple word. What does He say husbands are to do? To love. To love. He says here in this passage of Scripture, husbands, love your wives. And you know why God was able to say through the Apostle Paul, husbands, love your wives, and leave it at that? Because love covers everything. When you are living in a love relationship, when the love of God is ruling and reigning on your heart, you're going to be patient and kind, and you're not going to seek your own way, all those things that we looked at the other night. And He is saying, husbands, the primary responsibility, if you're not concerned about anything else and you miss everything else, don't miss this one thing that you're to do and to be in your home. You are to be an example and an illustration of agape love. That is that God quality that always responds in self-sacrifice in your home. You in your home, the mother is not to be the premier illustration of love. Did you know that? That's right. And she's a wonderful illustration of love. And people say, well, in our home, mother was the loving one and dad was the stern one that always cracked the whip and that kind of thing. No, listen, the Bible says to husbands, husbands, you're the ones that are to be the supreme example and illustrator of the love of God in your home. Love your wives and love your children and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. One man said it like this. Howard Hendricks says, the husband is to be the head of the home, but he is also to be the heart of the home. If he is a leader without being a lover, he's an autocratic individual. If he is a lover without leading, he's a sentimentalist. Now listen to this. If he has leadership with love, no woman in her right mind resists placing herself willingly and submissively under a man who loves as Christ loved the church. And it's absolutely true. We're to lead, we're to be the head of the home, but we are to be the heart of the home. Now let's look a little more specifically, though, at how that love is carried out, because he talks about it here in Ephesians chapter 5. Let's look at the description of this kind of loving leadership. First of all, let's look at the elements of loving leadership in your home. Look with me in verse 28 what he says. Husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but he nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. Let me ask you a question. How many of you men missed your meals today? Any men just got so busy that you, well, there may be one or two? How many of you men have missed your meals all week long? You know, somehow we just have time to eat, don't we? I mean, I may be real busy and I may have a lot of things to do, and I may miss a meal once in a while, but I want to tell you something. I'm going to nourish this body. And I cherish this body. You say, I don't cherish my body. Did you get up this morning and take a shower? Did you spend a little time combing your hair? I hope you did. Did you put on deodorant? Did you shave? If a nail went up through your foot, would you just forget about it and say, oh, I don't need to take care of me? Would you take care, give attention to that and cherish that and nurture that and do what was necessary? Well, Paul gives this illustration. He said, look, just like in the exact same way that you nourish and you cherish your body, in that exact same way you are to nourish and to cherish your wife. And really, that is the idea of two things. First of all, it's the idea of providing. That's that word nourish. It means to feed. In other words, it is my responsibility to provide for my wife and provide for my children. I am to nourish them. I am to feed them. But also, there is the idea of protection. Do you know that word cherish is a word in the Greek language that means to keep warm as birds covering their young with feathers? So I am to protect them. And not only am I to protect them physically, if I were to say to you, do you protect your wife and children? Do you provide for your wife and children? Oh yeah, I bring home a paycheck every week. And if a robber came in our house, I think I'd stand up and fight him and take the gun and try to run him off. I'd protect my home. Well, that's a wonderful thing. Physical protection is an important thing. But I want to tell you that something that far outweighs and is far more important even than physical protection and physical provision is spiritual protection and spiritual provision for your wife. Sir, do you spiritually provide for the needs of your wife? Do you provide spiritually for the spiritual needs of your children? Are you protecting them spiritually like a mother hen who gathers her chicks under her feathers? You say, well, Brother Bill, what are you talking about when you talk about providing and protecting my family? You may have seen this illustration before, but it's kind of like this. The husband is to provide almost as if an umbrella of protection. Here's his wife, and here's his children. And what's going to happen to your family, and what is happening, by the way, in increasing waves in our society today, because the walls of protection have fallen down. And I believe, as Tim stated the other night, we are already under the judgment of God in our nation. The world and the flesh and the devil are going to constantly bring temptation and influences and immorality seeking to get at you and get at your home. Now, your responsibility as a husband is to lead in that home and is to provide and to protect your family spiritually and emotionally and mentally as well as physically in your home. And I want to tell you, sir, if you have a hole in your umbrella right here morally, not only are you going to be affected morally, but I can guarantee you, you can mark it down. I can give you case history after history after history. Your wife will be affected morally. Your children will be affected morally. You say, well, that's just something in my thought life. That's just something that I do in the closet. Or that little issue. I know we watch some television programs that are wrong, but it's no big deal. We don't go to X-rated movies. We let some things come into our home. You know what happens to me in my home? I'll be sitting there with my children, and we'll be watching a television program, and if something comes on that's objectionable, you know what my daughter's first response is? She turns around, and every one of my children turn around immediately and look at me. They don't turn around and look at their mother. They turn around and look at their father. There's something innate and inborn to look to the father for leadership in the home. And I want to tell you something. My daughters particularly really pick up on where their father's eyes go. And a daughter has a deep desire to please her father. And a daughter, if she sees that my eyes glisten and my eyes are filled with happiness, when I see something immoral, then you mark it down through the day subtly and maybe even almost subconsciously, she will begin to dress and to act and to do those kinds of things that will please her father. It's a serious thing. It's a serious responsibility, men. It is no light issue. Some men say, well, listen, I can't lead in my home because my wife is more spiritual than I am. Do you know that leading is not, you don't have to be more theologically astute and more spiritually trained than your wife in order to lead? How many of you men were in the military? Can I see your hands? A lot of you men. When you got out on a battle somewhere, and let's say you were in a battle situation and you were leading a group of men, did you necessarily know more than everybody in that group about every little issue? Not on your life. Well, you may have had a munitions man who knew more about munitions than you did. You may have had another fellow over here that knew more about something else than you did. But your responsibility was to be the leader. That is, to be the initiator. You were the one to say, let's go this direction. Or let's go this direction. That didn't mean you didn't take counsel from here and counsel from here and counsel from here. But ultimately, you were responsible to initiate the direction that you were going. And a husband is to be, even if his wife knows more of the Bible or is more understanding of spiritual things, that's all right. The husband is to be the spiritual initiator in the home. He's the one who stands up and says, we're going to turn the television set off. When something comes on that's objectionable, he's the one that the children look to and should look to say, this will not, we will not allow this influence that is straight from the pit of hell to come and to affect my wife and to affect my children. And I am to provide and I am to protect my home. A deep, deep, serious responsibility. Let me just pause right there and ask you men, I'll ask myself as a father the same question. Are you providing for the spiritual needs of your wife? Are you ministering to her? Are you helping to feed her by initiating spiritual things in your home? Are you protecting your children? I want to tell you, folks, I wish I had 2 hours to speak to you about the incredible responsibility we have to protect our children. You know, I saw the other day in Scripture a little verse that says for us and for our families, it says this, it says, in evil we're to be babes, but in our thinking we're to be mature. In evil we're to be babies. Do you know what a baby is? A baby is absolutely inexperienced, totally unexposed to things. And so God's, and I thought about that for my children. Some people say, well, you got to throw your child out there. Man, they got to get out there in the world and they got to taste all that junk. Listen, my child, my 7-year-old, my 8-year-old son doesn't have the ability to make the kind of judgments that he's faced with. A lot of times just thrown out in the world without my protection. I was designed by God to help him, to protect him, to provide for him, to train him in the ways of righteousness. And I don't see anything wrong with pulling my son back and pulling him under my wing and pulling him out from under this evil influence so that in evil he can be a baby, but then teaching him the ways and the mind of God so that in his thinking he can become a mature man of God. In evil be babes, in thinking be mature, and that's our responsibility, fathers, to provide and protect our wives and our children. Well, secondly and quickly, look with me further at the method of doing this, particularly with our wives. 2 things I want you to notice. One is that we're to understand our wives. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 gives this amazing verse. It says, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way as a weaker vessel, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of a grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Do you know you won't even have an effective prayer life if you don't do this? He says, live with your wives in an understanding way. You need to seek the best you can the days of your life. Are you listening? To become a student of your wife. A student of your wife. If my responsibility, and one day I'm going to stand before God and give an account of how well I've done at this task, if it is my responsibility to help meet the spiritual needs of my wife and the emotional needs of my wife, how can I do that if I don't seek to understand her? I've got to understand her. And I tell you, one of the ways to help understanding her is to ask questions. Just to ask your wife questions, pertinent questions. You know, like a fellow said one time, he said, well, you know, one time I asked my wife why she felt that way, and she told me, and I just told her it was stupid. I just said, well, that's just stupid. I mean, it's just dumb. Why in the world would anybody feel like that? And so then a couple of weeks later, I asked her again how she felt about something, and she said, well, you'll just never understand. Now, where in the world she get that from? Well, you idiot. Last time you told her she was stupid. Why in the world would she open up to you? And he said, well, she didn't tell me the second time, and she just really is stupid. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard of. You spend your life telling her how stupid she is, how irrational she is. You're going to close her spirit, and she won't tell you anything ever again, see? So you've got to seek to understand and how she thinks and what makes her tick if I'm going to really minister to the needs of my wife. So many times, not as many as I should, but so many times I've been seeing my wife react to a particular thing, and I see this particular reaction, but I realize if I'll stop and think and pray, Lord, would you help me to know what's going on in my wife's heart and mind, what it is that's really bothering her? And then in a few minutes, I'll ask her a question about some other issue of her life, and we'll see that that's really the root problem. That's really what's going on. And then knowing that, I'm able to minister to that and to help her, just like Christ understands us, doesn't he? And so he comes to us when we're weary, and he strengthens us. And he comes to us when we're hurting, and he comforts us. And he comes to us when we're sinning, and he reproves us in the exact same way. I'm to understand my wife and to meet the needs of her heart. I understand her, and I'm to sacrifice for her. And that literally means just to give. And that's what real unconditional love is all about. Some men say, well, I'd die for my wife. I mean, if a train was coming down, you know, the road, and she was on the road, I'd gladly, you know, push her off, and I'd die. I mean, I think I'd do that, no problem. You know, I'd lay down my life for her. Well, let me ask you a more important question. Would you lay down your paper for her? Would you lay down your coffee for her? Would you lay down your business for her? Would you lay down your reputation, doing all these kinds of things so that everybody else out here in the world will think you're really something, so that you could take the time, and it does take time, to minister to the needs of your wife and to give yourself to the building of a home, which is the most important business that you will ever have during your brief tenure on this earth. Love your wife and give yourself for her. That means giving of time. And it means giving of affection. It means giving attention. It means that when my wife speaks to me across the room, I don't just keep looking at the TV and grunt.
Yeah. Sound like a cow over there.
Grunting. Never giving attention. And then we wonder why our wife never talks to us. And every once in a while when we really want to talk to her and we say, well, listen, I'll listen to you. And she says, no, you won't. She says, of course I will. I listened to you 5 years ago that time you talked to me about that one thing. But day after day after day, I haven't been willing to lay down my attention from what I was interested in and give it to her. So I'm to understand her and give to her in every single way. And you know what the result is? Verse 26 and 27 is, it says that Christ did this for the church, so that he might sanctify her and present her to himself without spot or blemish or any such thing. You know what the word sanctify means? It means to set apart. And here's the issue, men. Your responsibility as a husband in the home, and one day we're going to see it as we stand before God, is that I am to set the tone spiritually for my home so that it might provide the avenue and the vehicle to help my wife be more and more holy, more and more set apart unto God. Can I say something that I really believe with all of my heart? And men, you may react to this, and you may not like this statement, but I believe I can back this up biblically. I believe it's absolutely true, and I believe I can show it to you historically in the lives of thousands of men. Are you ready? Your wife is a reflection of your life. She is a reflection of your life. She will reflect you. If you get selfish, she's going to get selfish. If you get consumed with the things of the world, she's going to be consumed with the things of the world. If you're a contentious man, you're going to find her moving deeper into contention. And I want to tell you, if you want to see, men, if I want to see what's wrong with my life, I need to take a close look at my wife. Because my wife, particularly after these 17, almost 18 years of marriage, is a mirror image of my character. My responsibility is to nourish and to cherish and to love and to give and to understand and to sacrifice for my wife so that she might be set apart unto God, cleansed, made more of what God wants her to be, so that one day she might be presented to the Lord. Can I help you out, though, in one final closing statement? You may say, and we've zoomed through this here tonight, but you may say, well, Bill, that's kind of overwhelming. I mean, you just kind of dump a whole load on me there about all this responsibility, and I'm not sure that's all true, but I, I don't even think I can do that. I mean, I can't do that. I can't love my wife. I can't lead my wife. I can't understand my wife. I can't sacrifice my wife. I mean, where do I start in doing all these things? Listen very carefully. Last night we looked at the illustration of Mary. Listen to the illustration of Joseph. The Bible says that the angel came to Joseph and said, "Joseph, I know you're afraid to take Mary as your wife, but you take her. This thing that's in her is of the Holy Spirit." And the Bible says in Luke chapter 1, Joseph arose and took her as his wife. And then a little farther down the road there in Luke chapter 1, the Bible says that, or in Matthew chapter 2, the Bible says that the angel appeared again. God came to Joseph through this angel and said, "Arise and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt." And the next verse says, Joseph arose and fled. A little while later it says, an angel came to Joseph and said, "Joseph, get up and go back to Nazareth." And the Bible says in the next verse, Joseph arose and went. Let me tell you how simple. I didn't say it wasn't hard, but it's not complex. How simple this matter is of being a great loving leader of your home. Are you ready? It can be summed up in one simple word: obey. Obey God. And you know what happens when you, tonight, as the Spirit of God prompts your heart, to take your wife's hand and say, "Let's pray," to take your wife's hand and say, "Let's go to the prayer room," when you get home and you're lying in bed tonight to say, "Honey, I know we hadn't prayed a lot in our home, but can I just lead us in a prayer before we go to bed?" And the Spirit of God prompts your heart to seek her forgiveness, the Spirit of God prompts your heart to have a family devotion time. The Spirit of God prompts your heart to turn off the TV set when something objectionable is there. And you simply obey God. You know what's happening? Listen carefully. Literally then, because you are looking to Christ and obeying Him, literally, Christ becomes the head and the leader of that home. And you just become His channel, just His vehicle. And He has the ability to move into that home with all of His wisdom to direct your home in all the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Would you bow with me? Precious Father, we're so consumed by the responsibility that we have to be a leader. And Lord, it is an awesome task and a task we know which we're going to be held responsible for. But I pray, Father, tonight, in the midst of the weight of our responsibility, You would show us, dear Lord, the simplicity of obedience. If we will just obey You, tonight we can be the leader and the lover that You want us to be in our home. So, Father, give us the courage and the grace to obey You tonight. Let it begin in me, dear Lord Jesus. Amen.